Blog Talk Radio.
That's the words you cannot say, sung by Shout Ethan Shy, a fellow poet. And she played the music there also, but thank you, Bridget. And it's a poem I wrote. Thank you, Bridget. You stumbled across a team of Voices Radio, ATOV, with the Wonderland Production. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. We are also part of a group inside the site, allpoetry.com, a team of voices. You can find us there on the group tab. You can knock on the door. It is free to join. Deborah will answer the door. You can call in. Just say you're at the door. She'll let you in. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good.
Coffee.
How are you?
Oh. I'm a little stressed today, but I'll get over it. Let me take a
deep
breath.
I'm getting a cup of coffee. I'll be right back, but all your sound clips are at the top of the studio.
Thank you very much. Tonight, this is the second edition of Strange World. I'll be bringing up odd facts, things going on around us. There's no explanation or a questionable definition of what's going on. I can't think. I got too much heat today. Let me cool off a little bit. But tonight, it's going to be about dreams. We're going to hit dreams and also deja vu, the feeling that you have been here before. And if we have enough time, we'll be talking about the darker side of dreams, how it manifests and what we do about it and what they mean. But I'll start off with deja vu. Now, everybody's had that feeling, right? Feeling that you've been here before, you had done something, either an event. What's that?
I said I would think so, yeah. Even if they didn't realize that's what was going on, I think everybody's experienced it.
Yeah, it's you know, then I went on research down that rabbit hole trying to figure out what they explain, what's going on in the brain that causes that. And what I found out is they don't know. They have all sorts of theories of what it is. It can be triggered by smell, sight, an event. What would you, I mean, and I think it goes with intensity too. Sometimes the intensity of that feeling, it's got to be with the ones you remember rather than the fleeting thought. Well, that's sort of thought I was here. What do you think, Deb? The intensity. I was referring to the intensity of the feeling of.
Oh,
what
yeah,
do you think
yeah. Sometimes it's like it's unnerving and like can really turn around and rattle you trying to figure out what that feeling is. Like you walk into a room and someplace you've never been, but as soon as you walk through the door, you just know you've been there at some point. I mean, all kinds of different things like that.
Do you think we have that experience more when we're younger? Is that more than older, or is it more that we are aware of the things around us more when we're young?
For starters, I think it's more. It starts with personality and how open-minded you are. And sometimes you have a lifetime of that. Sometimes it's a youthful thing, and sometimes you don't stop and smell the roses until you're older. So in answer to your question, I think it's individualized.
Stopping to smell the roses is very important. There wasn't a whole lot of...
Nor any bumblebees, because we need them.
I looked at the science behind deja vu. It was an article, and I'm going to share some of that. Deja vu, the feeling of having experienced something before, is a very common, but why does it happen? Let's say you're walking somewhere, and you've never been before, and suddenly suddenly feel as though you've strolled down the same road already. You're experienced the well-known phenomenon deja vu. But what is it really, and why does the strange feeling happen? Now this is when it gets freaky, because I'll just read a couple of these things. Deja vu is a French expression meaning already seen, which was first used in 1876 by French philosopher Emile Bourriac in a letter to his book editor, and later in his published book, The Philosophy of the Future, in 1918. Deja vu is the feeling that something a person is currently experiencing has already occurred in the past. Experts refer to this phenomenon as a memory illusion involving familiarity and unfamiliarity, according to the book Psychology of Learning and Motivation, 2010. The illusion pits a person's impression that an experience is familiar against their knowledge that this sense of familiar is inaccurate. See, they do a lot of this. The sentence is a double talking almost. They don't know. An estimated 2/3 of people report experience deja vu. The book states, and the frequency of reported episodes decreases with age. Ah, there you go. so you have it more when you're younger, probably in the teen, you know, and that gets back into, hits on reincarnation, because there are stories of 9-year-old kids that describe a place that they had lived before in another country that they'd never been. I remember the one story where they're like a 9 or 11-year-old kid. He insisted for years that he knew this place in another country. I'll pull it up to get the country right. His parents finally, when he was probably 9, 10, 11, right at that time, started taking him seriously, because he was dancing. He knew names. He knew the streets. He knew the town. But there's no way he could have ever been there. Finally, they took him on a vacation to that country, and they were blown away, because he could describe it before everyone got there. He described the shops, the people. Now, how do you explain that? The kid has a memory of somebody else's memory from previous life, and I believe that he even said what work he did in the village. I'm gonna have to look that up, get the names right. But that's the extreme. That's the kind of not so much a deja vu as it is a reincarnation, I guess. What do you think, Deb? Is that? I mean, yeah, that's not deja vu. I don't know about that. Dreams. Yeah. Let me see if I can find that little article. Why do we dream? Some people say that it's to relieve stress and allows us to cope with the stress of life. I think that's a cop-out. That doesn't explain much of anything. Others say it's just passing thoughts in your REM sleep, which is where most of it happens, in your REM sleep. They're just colliding thoughts that when two realities hit, there's like one formed, and that's what the dream is. Okay. Others seem to think that it's nothing. It's nonsensical. You're going to dream because of something you ate, something you did, something that impressed you, or you worried. That they basically are useless, other than there's no value to it in science, is what this one theory says. Now, I have to ask, you know, when you see your dog chasing rabbits, he's asleep on the floor and his paws are going 100 miles an hour. He's dreaming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you can't shrug off dreams is just because you can't explain them, because other living creatures are having them also. Now, whether it's an animal that shares it, does that make it give more credence to the fact that maybe they're not useful to us? Sigmund Freud had a bunch of writings that most of them were proven wrong from his first findings. I don't know why he's considered the father of psychoanalysis, I think. He's wrong about everything. Well, deja vu. So I'm not helping with anybody defining it, am I, today?
No, I think it's fine. Because there's like a umpteen meanings for it. So just keep rolling with it.
Yeah, it is. There's at least six theories and then most couple of them are just double talk. It's relative to your input of the stress from the day before and what you anticipate for the next day. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm just tired. Got a dream. But we're going to play a classic song from the 1960s. It's from Creedence. It's from Crosby, Stills, and Nash off their Deja Vu album. And we're going to go dreams. These dreams heart. Sorry. These Dreams by Heart, Ann Wilson singing the song. The song was actually written for Stevie Nicks, and she turned it down. It was, the lyrics were written by, I didn't know this, Bernie Taupin, the lyricist for Elton John, wrote the song, the lyrics. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know either
the
one.
The song is written.
That Stevie Nicks turned it down, or who it was written by?
Yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. It was written about escape from realities of life. Specifically, he has said it was about escaping the childhood of adolescence abuse from his father. Bernie Taupin was a gay man, gay, and his father unaccepted. So there was issues there. It became a time when he only wanted to live in his dream worlds, and considered not living in his reality world. Bernie. Excellent song. I didn't know that either. These Dreams. The lyrics. The sweetest song in silence that I've ever heard. Funny how your feet and dreamed you've never touched the earth. In a wood full of princes, freedom is a kiss, but the prince hides his face from dreams in the mist.
Beautiful poem.
Yeah, sort of sounds like some of the Elton John, you know, Mad Men Across the Water, Yellow Brick Road, some of those. Okay, so a little education on a song I just played. Now I'm running back down the other hall. What makes a dream turn to a nightmare? What's the difference? Is there more relevance to a nightmare? Is it supposed to warn you? How do you deal with it? Some lead to night terrors. I think that's a whole different thing. Night when you dream paralysis. I think it is where you sort of half wake up but you can't move, and you're seeing things around you. We've all had them, the scary dreams. Being chased by an axe murderer, or given a presentation for which you're not prepared, or not wearing penny pants. Nightmares can be stressful as well as terrifying. Number one reason you probably had a nightmare, stress and anxiety. Worry is one of the most common causes of sleeplessness, and perhaps, not surprisingly, it can also disturb sleep. Stressors and anxieties that plague you during the day can manifest themselves as dreams. Dreams full of monsters, missed tests, or other stressful situations. The exact thing causing your stress would manifest in the dream, or may take an entirely different ominous form. So I love how they try to describe the little foggy when they begin to describe it, define it, then at the end they go, well, basically we don't know either. How to stop nightmares. Huh. I didn't know what nightmares were until after my brain surgery. And, I didn't know what fear was until after that. I lived my whole life not being afraid. I should have been. So nightmares, yeah, night terrors. I've heard people that have had them, and they're real. There's nothing to laugh at or joke about. Night terrors. I think it's a form of sleepwalking, but you just basically don't get up. But your brain is in that state where you can actually communicate or interact with people around you, but your reality is not what's going on to their reality. I don't know what medications they could use for that. My nightmares are of basically one storyline, and I don't like it. I try to fight not going to sleep sometimes, just work through the night. They're not fun. Okay. I need to run down the studio. I'm going to worn out here. Deborah, did you ever have problems with nightmares? Do you remember, or your kids, maybe?
Well, I've had nightmares, especially during pregnancy, but not night terrors. Horrifying difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you, in my
some
nightmares,
of the psych meds.
In my nightmares, when I try to scream for help, no sound comes out. So for me, that's one of the scariest things ever, is to not be able to make a noise.
Yeah, I can see that. Mine is basically watching an event that I have no control over. It's not basically not, I'm not running from something or hiding from something. Although, you know, I could possibly have that dream again, that nightmare, the scary one. But the nightmares now is things happening around me that I can't change, and they're very upsetting. So, and with that said, I want to play a song as soon as I can get back into the studio. All right. And there you go. One more. Come on. Come on. Deb, are you in the studio?
I can be. What
can
did you
need? play Bad Dreams? Oh, I got it now. Bad Dreams from Rachel Lauren. I'm going to try that one. Watch the volume.
I say I'm done here, but you come back to get me like a killer in movies when he's on the loose. You're a nightmare, all the faces that you wear, but I see right through you, almost had me fooled. Cause it's 4 in the morning and it's fighting exhausted. You always think you're right, huh? Cause you're so self-important. You tell my friends and my family a different story when I tell them what you did to me. You're a psycho.
Run.
Unmuted. That's Bad Dreams. That's bad Dreams by Naomi. And I was just on her page getting some information about her, and it disappeared. Oh my God. She's another Canadian, Deborah. She's from Montreal. She likes to play those odd keys, I guess. Sort of like it reminded me of, remember Melanie, the one that played Alice, Mad Hatter, ripped the skin off her face. Melanie Martinez, who came in third to the America's Got Talent, or one of those. And Naomi, what we just heard, she was a contestant in, and I think she might have won, in Greece, Got Talent. So she's been around. She, her idols are, guess what? Guess who? Avril, however you say your last name, the other Canadian girl.
Lavigne. Oh, wow. That's cool.
Levine, yeah. So they've heard the same kind of... music, and I was going over
the song was a good choice when you were talking about nightmares, because it had a haunting feel to it as she was singing. So cool.
Yeah. Scaring me. Let's see. Okay. Now, the part of why we dream seem to be more research than why they turn bad, why nightmares, you know, what happens to us between REM sleep and consciousness, or consciousness and sleep. I mean, it's probably something we'd never, it probably isn't as complicated as we might want to try to make it all be, because animals dream. They're dreaming, chasing squirrels, they're barking in their sleep. So is it that relevant to, I don't know, sharpen our dreaming skills? I don't know. These episodes. I'm lost in the shadows. Sorry, I'm looking for my host tools. Studio, there you go. Thank you very much. Now, if you just stumbled in, this is you listening to ATOV Radio, Team of Voices, taking a night off from writing and just talking some strange events or explanations of things we just take for granted, don't think much about, because we were never told any good reason for dreaming, for example. But we're going to talk back, we're going to get back to deja vu, that feeling of you've been here before. And this time we get to play it, Crosby, Stills, Nash, on their Deja Vu album, title song. Enjoy. Do you know? with Crosby, Stills, and Nash playing Deja Vu off the, I think it was their second album, second or third, I believe. Yeah, what, you know, just to talk about Crosby, Stills, and Nash for a second. I had always figured, I always loved Steve Stills from Buffalo Springfield and the Crosby, Stills, Nash, you know. And I loved Graham Nash. He was the one of the birds. I never gave David Crosby a chance, and I've been watching some of his videos, the younger, the earlier life of David Crosby, and then his meshing with the guys, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. He might have been the best of all of them. He's probably the most talented of all of them. That includes Neil Young, who they grabbed later in their careers. It must have been a, I think they were friends. I think Graham Nash and David Crosby came from the Byrds. They knew each other already. And I believe Steve Stills was from played in a band with Neil Young. Funny how they involve. But yeah, Deja Vu, that strange feeling. I had a chance to see Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and I had to pass it up. It was one of the days on the green out here in California. And I blew it. I think it was Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Young, and Joe Walsh. I think, yes. I can't remember who else since I wasn't there. But putting the file away. Well, Deborah.
Better.
Reincarnation. There's so much. There's not so much, but there are things that point to is that it's real. Do you think the possibility of passing a conscience, a part of a, of information from one electric brain, because we all have, it's all run, we run on electricity, it's a low voltage, but we do have a charge, and whatever happens to that charge when the body quits working, but the transfer of information, is that possible, and where does that happen? I mean, is that just too weird for a thought? They keep going back to that kid who kept telling his parents he knew, he kept telling them where he was from. And they had never been in another country, another part of the world. So they went there and blew him away. He knew the people and no explanation. And
I know there's been kids who have, under hypnosis, had the ability to speak
languages,
and they couldn't, out of hypnosis, and some people say it's from reincarnation. You know what I mean?
You know, so okay, let's say it is. Now let's try to explain how that happens. Because there's got to be an interaction of two life forces, for lack of a better term, to transfer data. Where does that happen? Or how? Do they bump into each other in accident? One takes a curious note of a kid? Was he just wanting to live again so bad? I'm lost on that one. I mean, the fight we have in us to live is a tremendous force, whether you like it, realize it or not. Fight or flight is inbred in us. That's how we survive. But all the little things that come with it. It's like dreams. We only use so much percentage of our brains. Why we have the rest of it. I don't know if that number has gone up or down. When you get into the brain patterns, good or bad, from epilepsy to savants, how do the Down syndrome becomes like Rain Man? The mathematics, the memory, what doesn't fire, and they somehow touch it into the part of the brain that we can't, because that'd be a hell of a trick. I carry pictures of my brain, x-rays of my brain, CT scan, and I've got MRIs. So I used to have to pass them back to go to doctor. Eventually I just hung on to them. They came looking for them, but I kept them. And it shows the damage in the right hemisphere of my brain from the accident I was in. It's just a picture. But you got to realize, you got to ask yourself what happens in the that transfer or loss of memory or a part of your life or being able to do anything. Where does that, besides blunt force trauma, the after effects, not the actual trauma. You have to sort of live through it to understand what I'm trying to say, because I'm saying it so poorly. Kim Justice on her show, they discuss it quite often. Back in the day when Kim's injury, her injury and mine, we didn't have any other people knocking on the door going, hey, we've been through this, let's talk. We had doctors barking at us thinking they knew what we were going through, and it was the most frustrating thing in the world. Then you rely on your own sources. My family had an insurrection. What do they call it? They come in and have it was about my memory. Intervention, that's what it was. But it was about my memory. I was asking my brothers, remember when we did this? Not. They go, none of that. None of that has happened for this hit me down. So I couldn't trust my, this is the first 2 years probably after my accident. So I couldn't trust my memory. That was another wild one. But I did learn something about the brain. And it fascinates me because when a person passes on, there is some evidence that the body, you get lighter. There is something that weighs something that's been photographed leaving a body. Now, that's the consciousness, okay? Let's call it that. When the damage to my side of my brain severed the neurons in the brain, doctors told me that they would immediately start looking for that, their partner, whatever the other severed part. And they'll go searching for it through the brain. And if they can't find it because of scar tissue or whatever, any other reason, it can travel into the other hemisphere. One hemisphere does is responsible for one thing, and the right is for, isn't that for the, before I say something, no, I have to look that up, which one's which, but when the neurons go searching for their severed halves and into the other hemisphere, it can open your inner eye. This is the doctor that told me. He says for what they call your inner eye. I suppose some people, when they have damage like that, become geniuses, and there's evidence of that too, but that doesn't happen very often. The transfer of knowledge, what do you get to take with you? You have to remember how many dimensions there are. We live in three dimensions, and then time is another dimension, and it rushes by. We can't touch it, but we know it's there. Something's quick in the clock. So we know time's there, but the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, up to there's 11 dimensions that plugs into Einstein's theory that makes it all relative. Maybe that's where we go. The consciousness goes to the other one of the other the realms you can't interact between the two. Something happens to your body force. When it misfires and you start having uncontrollable dreams, or sometimes your brain can be your worst enemy. The musician Schumann, I think it was, went crazy because of the letter, because of the note of A. Just, that's supposed to be what the Big Bang, as it rings in the skies around us in the space, it's supposed to be an A. But if your brain gets hyper, you could either reach into another realm or create your own. The sleep, you know, you have to have sleep in order to function. So dreams have got to be a byproduct of it just letting off steam. It may be there with a pressure valve. You just got all these thoughts, these flailing thoughts that could go anywhere. You just need to get that energy out so we build up for the new day. Maybe that's because we do go into a absorbing mode in our bodies. That's when we absorb our nutrients that we took in the dinner or whatever. And then maybe that's part of it. Your brain's feeding, letting off some energy. So anyway, well, Deb, did we have? I didn't look and see if anybody left something for us to read, but they're supposed to call in anyway. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
I know there was a note from LG, but I don't remember seeing anything else on the board.
Well, they could call in.
I was thinking. Maybe he'll dial. Dave Prophet put one on the board 4 hours ago called Soothsayer. But LG wrote, Dear Hatter, precognition,
uh-oh,
ESP, empathy, and dreams, deja vu, run in my family. I dreamt my parents' death 6 years apart and over a 10-day dream succession. I, myself, am an empath. I'd love to call in and share my views and experiences on your show with you. Unfortunately, I can't. I'm in the process of trying to acquire a cell phone. But at the present time, I would not be able to use the landline at the skilled nursing facility where I am presently a permanent resident. but perhaps another time, fate willing, I remain sincerely LG Mace. So it would be cool to do this again if she gets her hands on the cell phone. Anyway.
Yeah, an empath. That's another, without paths, the universe would be out of balance. You going to say something, Deb?
I was yelling at Roscoe. But I was just going to say, I don't know, there's only a few minutes left of the show, so I don't think, maybe we'll put it on for open poetry.
Yeah, we got to. Let's go over what's tomorrow night to be AP Taylor open poetry.
Yeah, tomorrow night at 9.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I thought you were in. Me too. Go ahead.
What? Well, no, I am. Please do. I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, all right. Tomorrow at 9 is A.P. Taylor Open Poetry, and Hatter and I hang out with him, too. On Sunday night at 9:30, JCA goes live on Sunday Night Murder and Mayhem. And this year, this week, he put up two different videos, and check them out for inspiration to write. And he always shares great information as well. Sometimes even if you don't inspire to write a poem, if you listen, some of the stuff he shares is pretty fascinating. And again, that's 9:30 Sunday. And then on Monday night, it's Personal Prompt Monday. And we're doing Mark Packy Photography at 10 p.m. He's taken a lot of really beautiful pictures around the planet. And whichever one screams at you the most, go for it. That'll be the last un-series show for a while, because the following week I'm starting the color series, and each week will be a different color, and there'll be tons of art to go with each color. So some cool stuff coming up. Plus, we get to wait and see what kind of topic Hatter comes up with for the end of the month. So stay tuned, everyone.
Yeah, I started coming to the realization that we're going to have to come back to certain subjects to make room in the show so we can follow up on things. And any suggestions if you guys want to hear or go into anything in that kind of a realm, better let Deborah know. We'll get my messages as well. The artificial intelligence, being that it bothers everybody to a degree, and if it doesn't, shame on you. It should. It's going to affect more than you think.
Oh. Yeah, I think that'll be another one that should. This one.
Well, you know.
One and that one should have a part two for sure, just not too close together.
Yeah, in our economic situation at any time teeters on the edge, it doesn't take much to push something like that in the wrong direction, and artificial intelligence is going to have that power to change the market. It's going to be, but anyway, I'm going to see if I can update about anything going on with artificial intelligence, unless you don't want to hear about it again, Deb.
No, I said I think that this show and that show would both make good part twos for later, in a month or two, not too close together, but absolutely again. Now that you got your gist, we'll know who would be interested in, say, for example, if one of the topics that you did was space, we could invite Dave to come hang out at that show because he's got a big space brain.
Yeah. Yeah, I think David, I did one. We did have a show about space. Huh.
Space is so vast that you guys pick a thing in space, or even the possibility of aliens, anything that. The sky's the limit with your topic.
I would like to believe that we could go far enough to try jumping from one area of the universe to the other. Light years is a thing, and it's untravelable. I mean, we're not going to be able to use it, and that you would need that to travel the vastness of the universe. But the bending time, point A, point B type thing, opening doors to other universes, mankind gets there. You know, it seems like if we just take it out like a marble, some asteroid comes in, takes us out, complete planetary extinction, sort of a reset. It's like everything was for naught. So I'd like to think we could get to Star Trek level or something close to it. Would you volunteer for the 6-month one-way trip to Mars?
No, but I...
6 months?
No, but I... Because I have 5 to my children, but... Anyway.
In 6 months in a capsule. Yeah, in a rocket. 6 months in a rocket. I mean, once you're in space, you're going to have to build... You're going to have to build these things in space because size is going to have to be... size doesn't matter in space. I mean, as far as getting something to move, you just need a propulsion. Just keep it. There's no resistance. There's no air to stop it.
Nice play on words, Hatter, and see how well behaved I'm being.
Did I say something?
You said size doesn't matter
in
space.
Oh, yeah. Can't hear you scream either. Yeah, we should not be so closed-minded that we understand what the universe out there is like, because all we know is what this small little rim of gas that surrounds this Earth and everything that reflects from sunlight to other gases and how it's with other living things. We don't know what it's like in vacuums with a helium based or with a 2% gravity pull rather than Celia, you just don't. Everything changes. Physics goes out the window. We have no clue, so we shouldn't be so arrogant that we would think there isn't the possibility of finding some of the answers to some of the biggest questions ever asked. Like, why are we here? You know, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you. And get some sleep with dreams, huh?
did I miscount, or do you still have one more song?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of which one I didn't play.
I think it was Undream Nightmare featuring Neone.
Bad Dreams first one first, and I played it right after. I just pushed the button and played it.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Extra
That's
long.
Why I didn't realize too, because you went okay.
Yeah. But
let's go out to the same song started with These Dreams, because I love Heart.
Okay, let me scroll back. There it is. Okay, These Dreams. Oh, something just reset. It's coming back.
Great show, Hatter. You want me to push it?
Yeah, if you would, please.
All righty. Love and respect.
Without a cut through a stained glass wall.
Thanks, Deb.
Great show, Hatter. Thanks. Love and respect.